This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Wow, anticipation has really been building for this one, huh? I mean, for the last couple of years, Stan has first said yes and then no, and so finally we're going to be having it, and so Stan Allen is organizing and has put together now the next Magic Live in Las Vegas. And, of course, as we get started here, I am waiting my magic carpet, Southwest Airlines, in Houston Airport, Houston, Texas, and I'm excited. I hope you guys are, too. The interesting thing about this convention is you never know who's going to be performing there. You don't know anything necessarily about the agenda, what the plans are, and Stan loves to live on the edge, and so from year to year, everything is a little bit different from the year before. And that's one of the reasons Stan says he thinks people keep coming back, is just to see him walk that tightrope, to find out whether or not he's going to fall or make it across safely. So it's just a fun thing, like maybe sometimes watching an accident. Is it going to be okay? Are they going to slide into the barrier, or are they going to crash? Anyhow, it has always been just a fun time. And with thousands of people, I say 1,600 people, the theater seats about 800. And so they have two seatings. They've got morning session, afternoon session. That's typically about all that we know. Again, it's just chock full of a lot of people who, with bated breath, have been waiting to come to Las Vegas after all these years and get back together in a good time of fellowship, great magic, and some learning some good methods, and just, again, hanging out with great folks in the entertainment capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. Anyhow, this is going to be just, again, a lot of fun. I guess you can sense my excitement in my voice then, too. It is Saturday. The convention actually begins on Sunday. I'm going to be getting there early enough, so this way I was going to say I can get some rest. No, I'm not. I've got a 9:30 p.m. show today, so I was almost redundant. I almost said 9 p.m. tonight. I don't get that. What is up with that? I mean, people say like 9, I'll see you at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Okay, it's either a.m. or morning. They're both being the same. So at p.m. today. So that's the idea. Anyhow, tonight, 9:30, I've got, I bought tickets for David Copperfield to go see the show. There was another event, a pre-party over at Rick Lax's house, which I don't think I'm going to be able to make because after I'm finished with David's show, I probably want to get back, get a little bit of sleep for a busy day tomorrow. I say busy, not so much necessarily, because registration, they're going to have soft registration this afternoon, and then tomorrow official registration opens, I think, around noon or 2 o'clock or something. And there are some other people going to different shows over the weekend here. Hey, listen, I've been talking long enough. You want to kind of hear what's going to be going on. You're excited, too. I know that. So I will see you over to this. Oh, I know what you're excited about. Dunkin' Donuts. That's right. Let's see what I got over here this morning. I always forget, because I get something not necessarily always different. Most of you know by now I like chocolate, which is why I got the chocolate, and I got an eclair, chocolate eclair, of course, with custard filling, and so that ought to tide me over until I get on board, and of course a little black coffee. Hold on a minute. Ah, boy, that is some good coffee. Good coffee. Alrighty, now I'm getting started. The world is all well, and the magic world is as well. I'm looking forward to seeing all of you guys. And so, from Houston, Texas, soon in Las Vegas, Nevada, this is Scotty out. Okay, we've arrived in Las Vegas. We're at the Orleans Hotel, and eventually we're going to be talking with the organizer, Stan. Allen is still kind of, right now, undercover as he's getting everything all ready, but I'm here with Sherry and Charlie Fry. Hey guys.
Hi.
It's windy here.
Hello, Scott. How are you?
Fantastic. You guys,
time we've seen people in 2.5 years.
Yes.
Yeah, it's nice to see people, and you guys are not wearing masks either.
No.
I noticed as I'm walking around here, not a lot of people are wearing masks.
Yeah, but yeah.
It's not mandated.
No masque.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, lone masque. Hey, there's an actor. Yeah, we're I don't know, we're fully vaccinated and all that stuff and boosted.
The last couple of years, have you been sticking close to home here in Vegas then, pretty much? I mean, not doing cruises? I mean, you've been
locked in? No, you'd have a hard time talking to
us. We've done a few shows.
On a cruise.
We stay in the States.
Yeah.
We've been working in the States.
Just corporate stuff.
Yeah, private, and private things that people have hired us for, and consulting, and yeah, we're keeping pretty busy. No complaints. But yeah, I don't want to hit the road a lot.
Too far.
Yeah, not too far. We've flown back and forth in the country, but not overseas.
During the lockdown, a lot of people were creating things. Did you have some ideas or things you were working on, or did you try to do some videos?
Have you even watched any of the videos we've done?
Actually, I have seen some of those.
There's like 130 of them out there, Scott. Come on. Get up.
I have.
Get up to speed with your social media there.
On Instagram?
No, only Instagram. Facebook, and then we would put them up on YouTube for people that aren't on Facebook. Yeah, but so.
He's pretty creative.
Yeah, so.
He's doing pretty creative.
There you go.
Yeah. Has it gotten to a point where it's actually making you money then?
Oh, no, we didn't do it for that. We did it to keep people off the ledge. And, some people have reached out and said, hey, can I learn this routine? And, then I charged them.
Do some private lessons.
Yeah. But no, that wasn't the purpose. The purpose was just to, like I say, keep people off the ledge. They could watch them with their kids if they wanted to. They could watch them in a foreign. We had no language barrier. You know, we made sure everything was short, funny, original, different, nothing from our act.
Inside.
Because we realized some people might have not thought, hey, it's not just for watching, it's for taking. And no, it was for watching. But, if they reached out, I help them with a routine. But, and to keep it silent. And at first it was just put up one, and then I put up two. And Sherry was just filming when I practice every day. And people said, oh, I can't wait till the third one. Well, the third one? So I thought of something else. And the fourth one? So I thought, maybe we can make it a month.
Yeah.
And then, 2 months. It was every day for the first 60 days. And then things lightened up with the pandemic. We thought, okay. But then they didn't. It was still locked down. So then it was one every week. And then we stopped again, and it's still the pandemic's there. So we did again. So now it's up to over 130. Now I think we can.
You think you're done now?
Yeah, now I think I'm done. And also, Sherry said, and don't buy anything new. It had to only come from stuff that I had on hand. And, so that fosters creativity that way. You look in the closet and you go, what haven't I used?
And how long was each one?
Each one ran for 1 minute to 3 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Seems like
you really need to watch this crap, Scott.
Listen to our YouTube.
I busted my tail doing this. At least you can do is watch it.
I will do that. Now, I apologize. I have a red face here. And you can't see beneath my beard. But I do recall, though, you were originally going to be doing one a day, thinking, okay, this is going to be over.
Yeah, that was the first 60 days.
That's what I recall. I think I watched the first couple of those, but then after that,
Well, they got better.
Okay.
And he actually wore a costume after that.
Yeah, I got I was in a robe for the first 2 months, just like everybody else. There was no reason to put on pants again.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty humiliating. I should take that stuff down, probably.
I better hurry and watch it. Tell everybody else out there to hurry and watch it also, to go to Charlie Fry's YouTube channel and watch that, too. So you're excited about being here and getting to see some friends and everything then, too?
Oh, it's great. Yay.
Yeah. Nice.
A return to some somewhat normalcy.
A little bit like that. Yeah. I know you can't talk about it if you're involved, but are you doing anything here?
I can talk about it because I'm not involved.
Okay, well then.
We're not doing anything.
We're just here a couple days, and then we're heading out Wednesday.
Yeah, we can make the first couple days of it. So.
And you got a corporate thing you're doing?
We're just leaving town.
We're hitting the road. We're heading up to Reno.
Got a place to go.
Yeah, that's right.
Things to do.
That's right. There's Stan walking by.
Stan's
in a mask because he's undercover. He doesn't want to be bothered.
That's right.
Especially
he's
hiding.
Since the microphone's going to open. I got to take a tour here. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys
here.
And I'll see you next month when I get back. Maybe we'll get together
for
breakfast or something.
All right. Fantastic. Have fun.
Thank you for the Magic Word Podcast.
Hello to everyone.
Sherry and Charlie Fry. Scotty out. Well, this is day one of the convention, and we are in Las Vegas, and we are at Magic Live, and one of the performers and who is already listed in the program is Master Payne. I've got him with me right now. Hey there, Payne. How are you?
Hey, great. Good to be here.
And I'm glad to see you again this year because it's been a couple of years of hiatus that Stan's been...
It's been two years of hiatus, and I mean, the last time I appeared here was in 2016, so
16,
it's been...
16, wow.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been on stage here.
Was that the coin in the bottle?
No, the coin in the bottle was in, 13.
I guess that's just so memorable to
it
me.
Is. Everybody remembers that, which is good because it's at least that's you know, a trick I got to perform.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I would hate to be known as a magician. He just did PowerPoints. We don't know what else he did. He just did PowerPoints.
Are you doing PowerPoints again?
That's what you're known for. That's what I'm known for. That's why they bring me back is to do these PowerPoints. And I guess I'm opening. I'm the first
on the session
first,
tomorrow?
Yeah, first person to appear on the session. I talked to Stan and he said, no, I have a kid and a dog before you. Yeah, thanks, Dan. Yeah, no, kids and animals. All right. But
ooh, man, you're going to be hard to follow, though. You always are.
I don't think so. Looking at who else is on the bill, it will be interesting. So, but yeah, it's interesting to have me open. You know, I like to open.
Is there anything that you could talk about yet? Since this is going to be broadcast before your
it's secret.
Okay, as usual.
But that's what it's about. It's about secrets.
It's about secrets.
It's about secrets, and this is
and the importance of keeping them.
Well, no, this is my method for not necessarily keeping them, but from diverting the audience's attention away from them.
Hmm.
And it's basically one of my pet peeves is too many magicians just rely just completely on this secret and don't have any kind of like presentation. They think that the trick is strong enough to be entertaining them. Going, there are so few tricks out there that are strong enough to be entertaining. You need something to hang your hat on. And so when you tend to just do a trick that all you have is a secret, that's all the audience can focus in on.
Right.
And so they go, well, it must have been this because they have nothing else to pay attention to. And so if you make a well-rounded, I'm not saying that secrets aren't important. They are important, but I'm saying that the best way to keep them safe is to have a well-rounded and developed presentation so that you have more than just the secret. I mean, this is why magicians get upset by like the masked magician when the secrets are exposed, mm-hmm. because secrets are all they have.
Ooh.
You know, and then they realize that once the secret, then the trick is worthless. But if you sort of treat the trick as worthless anyway, and say, "But I have a really good presentation for this," and
because so, you want people to remember you, not you, the, yeah,
you
the wanna, trick.
Yeah, you want to. Yeah, you want
to. Yeah, you. Or both.
Yeah, you know, it's like you know. You don't go to a movie to see the sets. You go to the movie to see the guys performing. You want to.
Sure.
I want to go see that new you know. Cumberbatch movie, that new Tom
right.
Cruise movie.
Right.
You know, you don't go to say, "I want to go see a plane movie." I want to go see a, you know,
huh?
Yeah. So
good point.
Yeah, it's you know, but you know, whereas you know, Top Gun, which I probably won't go see because I just don't have enough napkins to wipe the testosterone coming off the screen. We saw the preview for it last night. I'm getting soaked just watching this. but you know, but you don't go this, you know, say, you know. You go to see Cruise flying planes. It's a
right
tandem thing, a symbiotic relationship, and magic should be more symbiotic. If it's the trick and this, or it's the presentation and the trick, not mm-hmm. no, and not just depending entirely. I fooled you, ha ha ha! I win. You know, yeah.
That's, isn't that kind of like what Penn and Teller were doing many years ago when they were doing the cups and balls with plastic cups?
Oh yeah,
cups.
Yeah, and they still fooled everyone.
They still fooled everybody.
And there were people talking about how they would go into the lobby and do cups and balls and still fool everyone.
Yeah.
And yeah, because we watch magic. We mm-hmm. watch magic and we know how it's done, but we're still, you know, well, sometimes enjoying what yeah. we're seeing. A lot of times you're going, oh, that could have been so close.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that, you know, David Devant was a big exponent of you know, how can an audience appreciate what you're doing if they don't know what you're doing?
And he got kicked out of the magic circle for
twice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and which I mentioned in my presentation tomorrow, but yeah, so I you know, because I don't really care if I fool anybody when I'm doing my magic. It's a bonus, you know, but mm-hmm. But I don't set out to do stupid tricks that are blatantly obvious or lead people to the secret. But too many people just they focus entirely on the secret and they leave the rest of the presentation just that'll be enough.
You know,
you need to concentrate on the presentation to to pump up the trick.
Wow.
So,
well, hopefully people who are listening to this are going to be inspired to think, oh, gosh, she's going to be talking about this. And so without you going into a lot more detail, you're going to go into more detail on Monday morning.
This is probably more detail. So they'll listen to this and go, oh, that was what he's talking about. Why didn't he say
so? Why didn't he say that during the 20 minutes he was up there?
Ah, jeez.
Are you looking forward to seeing some other people as while you're here as far as some other presentations who are on
I'm looking forward to the Zabrecki's History of Magic. I'm really curious to what that's going to be. And
I loved his A to Z lecture years ago he used to do.
Yeah. And Nick DeFonte? DeFont. I never quite. It's actually in the general session I'm in, so I'm anxious to see what he has to say, because I follow him on Facebook, so I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
But so I'm really curious to see what he has to say. And there's a couple of things, but I had to have that book in front of me.
But just in general, basically, being just, here at Magic Live, and just, back live again.
Yeah, it's back to live. Exciting. And amongst the living, and that's, and
well, I'm glad that you are amongst the living and you're with us this year. I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Master Payne. This is Scotty out. Things are beginning to happen. People are arriving here on Sunday. And one of the people I wanted to chat with first off is a good friend of mine and also the podcast you may have heard in many times in the past, Gregory Wilson. Hey there, Greg.
Hey, good to be here.
And so glad you made it in.
Well, how do we explain to people you're in my room right now? This is
I'm stalking you.
This is kind of weird. And how you got in. How I let you in.
You mean how I was already here waiting for you when you arrived?
That's even weirder. Yeah, I just call it good service.
That's right. I got turned down service tonight too for you.
As long as you do turn me down.
Okay. Exactly, when you ask. So you are looking forward to this. You said you were going to be a dealer, and then you got what? Arthritis or what?
I've got this.
Tendinitis?
It's called tenosynovitis, and it's just a it's an injury of the thumb tendon.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've been practicing riffling cards too much, or what?
It's excessive use, and every girl at the party last night had something different to say.
I'm sure they did.
Yes.
And we won't go into that. But obviously that
was typing.
Typing.
That's what they were saying.
Yeah. Mostly, of course. I can understand that. Yeah. You type way too much because you're such a technical guy,
Try to be. So what's going on?
I want to talk about the convention. We're here for the Magic Live, and you have been a dealer in the past. You performed in the past. Anything that you're doing that you can talk about this year with Stan?
No.
Okay, then. That's fair enough.
No, I just, the last time we talked, I said I'm going to have to cancel my booth, and I had this whole new thing I was going to bring out for the magic community. It was going to be an all-in-one kit that showed four new things I was going to put on the market. Now I'm just going to do it independently.
Okay. And will that be available on your Secret Service website? Or Secret Source?
Secret Source.
Yeah.
Don't tell the Secret Service about my secret source.
What's the website?
TheSecretSource.com. Notice how I go slower.
Yes. As you get older.
Clear. Yeah, exactly. When I want more business.
And so you're going to be releasing each of these things then independently rather than as a box.
Exactly. Exactly. It was going to be a big kit here for the big debut, but I look forward to doing nothing. This is the first time in a long time. Because I
just kind of hanging out.
90% of the time I'm at Magic Live, I'm doing a lecture or a performance or something. So this is going to be fun.
Well, that's what I think is interesting about this convention is you have a lot of people who are known magicians, such as yourself, who are just here hanging out and not necessarily performing. They're just here for the fun of it and to see people.
For the shows and the reunion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be great. And it's kind of weird, though, having to, to pay.
For registration?
You got to pay for registration and hotel. And
nothing's comp for you here.
This usually feeds me.
Yeah.
And
not this time.
Okay, in case Stan's hearing this, maybe he doesn't feed me.
That he knows.
Yeah.
Or knew about it.
It's like at the end of my show, people say, well, how much do you charge for your pickpocket show? I said, that depends. That depends how much I think I'm worth at the end of the night. What do you mean? Well, it's all subtracting how much I give back.
Yeah. After I add up everything that I've taken and kept.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Gotcha.
So what's this device you got here?
This is my podcasting recorder, basically. This is a Zoom H3, which is a pretty cool microphone that professional podcasters use.
You always have the latest in advanced technology.
Well, I have to keep up on this. And I also appreciate the people who are the friends of the Magic Order. Those are the ones who support us with their donations and their monthly pledges, so this way we can afford to have this kind of equipment.
You get monthly pledges?
We do, yes. Oh. Patreon.com. I'm glad you asked about that.
What? Isn't that what you told me to slip in, right? You said make it a smooth segue.
Well, but I said don't mention that, but that's okay.
You said, okay.
I got that part.
You can. Are we editing on the fly?
No.
Okay. All right. Hopefully
it goes out naked as it is, just like you are now.
Don't say naked in my room. I guess this interview's over.
We got things to do, places to go, cats to shave. Listen, so you're excited about being at the convention, seeing a bunch of folks. Are you going to be hanging around for a few days after the convention, seeing some shows in
Vegas? 1 or 2 days, yeah. I've seen some shows already. I saw Frederick Da Silva, who's bloody fantastic.
I'm anxious to see him.
So good. Mm-hmm. So good. I saw...
He's at Harrah's? Or not
he's
Harrah's.
At Bally's.
Bally's, sorry.
I saw Emily England's show. She invited me to the Absinthe.
Mm-hmm. What really a good show. Absinthe, uh-huh. Is that a Cirque show?
It is a Cirque show. Mm-hmm. Don't go in there with thinking it's a church show.
Okay. This is more of an adult-oriented.
We're just saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've heard that.
Listen, it's so adult that adults cringe.
Okay, then.
Yeah, but that's not Emily's part. She's they close the act with the roller skating with her and her brother.
Oh, that's right. They're the two roller skating act. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, just great. Mm-hmm. Just great.
Any other shows you recommend?
What else did I just see? I just saw Murray. Mm-hmm. I look forward to seeing Banachek tomorrow. You know, that's the advantage of, you know, us getting old. We know everybody and don't have to pay for tickets.
I'm going to go see Banachek in the next about an hour from now.
Oh, that's right. We'll see you there.
Do you want to go with me?
Well, let's just finish the interview on the way. Let's go.
I'm supposed to meet some guys downstairs, and we're heading on over.
Yeah, I'm going with Emily.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I went to see Copperfield last night. I've not seen a show in a long time. I've not seen him since he had the UFO and all that. So he's been doing that for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty astounding. It was a big, big show, and you can only do it in that big of a theater.
There's Copperfield and everybody else.
That's right. And everybody else. I was with Chip Romero, and Chip said, you got to go see the Pope.
The what?
The Pope. We came to see the Pope.
Exactly. If you're going to Vatican City, you're not going there for the souvenirs.
Yeah, yeah. You know, if your religion is magic, you got to go see the Pope.
Go see the Pope.
So anyhow, I'm going to let you alone, but any kind of, you said the new thing you were working on, you got the new, what are the tricks called as far as what's on the secret source that you got coming up?
I'll keep that under wraps for a little bit.
Okay. Okay.
But it'll be some fun
stuff. Some stuff that people will like.
I think so. Okay. The stuff that's, all the stuff I put out are things that I've had in my repertoire for at least a decade and what I call a 1,000-timer. So
all commercial.
I mean, stuff I use. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm
just like a Hyundai 500 and all that.
I'm stringent on myself. It's funny. I'll tell you a quick funny story about that. The younger generation don't know what that is. So if I'll do it for them, they don't. And I did it for a group of kids like a couple years ago at a convention. They go, "Oh, is that your version of Extreme Burn?"
You're killing me.
So I said, yes, that was an extreme burn, but thanks for asking.
And they just kind of zoom over their heads.
So it started with Easy Money by Patrick Page in 1958. And then there's been myriad variations. Fred Capps. He told me a story. I might as well get it out now. I'll give you some inside scoop. When I talked to Patrick Page to get permission to put this out, which he granted graciously, he mentioned I was the very first one to ever ask him for permission, let alone, you know, mention his name, give him credit. And he practically cried. He was so blown away that I would do such a thing, especially based on the story I'm about to tell you. In 1958 or 9, at the IBM convention, I believe it was in England, Fred Capps came by the booth, saw it, and put it out on the market 3 years later called Flash Cash with a catchier name. And everybody thought it was Fred's instead of
Pat's.
Hmm. So,
and he never asked for permission. He just saw it and took it.
No. And I think, I don't know if anybody's ever done this before me. It turned ones and hundreds as opposed to blank pieces of paper, magazines or newspaper or something like that. And I think that was the game changer. Mm-hmm. And when Extreme Burn came out, it was great. I give all the credit in the world because on video, his looks way better than mine because it's the bills are flat.
Right.
And they instantly change. But as many professionals have told me, and I'm going to be a little self-promoting here, I still prefer mine because it's a potent 1-2 punch. You're waiting for the other shoe to fall after you do the initial change, and they see only the outside of the folded packet. Mm-hmm. It changed from ones to hundreds. Now they're anticipating what it's going to be when you unfold them. Mm-hmm. So whatever they say, I incorporate it into the segue. So if they say, that's amazing. Wait, what's amazing? This 100, this 100, this 100, this 100, and this 100. So say something that somebody would say.
That's incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah. I'm amazed.
Which one's incredible? This one, this one, this one, this one, or this one? Or who are you? People often ask that, but especially if I show them the 100, 200, 300, 400, 500. So you get that extra punch.
Yeah. That's true, because the first is the expression of, wow, that's amazing, yeah. And you pause. And I think we were talking about that off air before we started this, about how you do need to pause and let that sink in, because if you immediately go in to start counting it, it's like you're stepping on your applause.
It's exactly it. You got to let them marinate in the moment, yeah. And they're always going to want
in the moment. I got to remember that.
They're always going to want more.
Yeah.
So how do you give them more if you're already done? So I have another version where I turn ones into 20s. I say, if I were a real magician, I could do real magic. What would you like me to do with these ones? They would say, tournament to 100.
Exactly.
I say, that's what I'm going to go for. Special request just for you. Here we go. And they turn into 20s. They go, that's not 100s. I go, why are you so disappointed?
I made it 100. There's 100.
But that's what I do. I say, look, 20, 40, 60, 80, 100. That's not good enough for you. Then on the offbeat, I switch that packet in my pocket for another packet that has 20s and 100s. 20s on the outside, 100s in the inside.
Okay.
So now when I come back up with the 20s, I go, okay, just for you, watch this. And I spread out the 20s, make
Brilliant.
It fair, and now you got your 100s. So you got that triple punch.
Yeah.
So you've got the effect from 1s to 20s to 100s, but the first one, the initial one we were just talking about, you pause after the initial change.
I have talked with some people who have said, boy, there's a whole conversation we can get
How
into.
How long is this supposed to go? Aren't they done with us yet?
We should be turning you loose, but about where some people I have seen perform this just 1s to 20s. And I say, why? Because that is not what people expect. They expect 100s. And it's like, well, I can't afford 100s. Then you can't afford to do the trick.
It's not an expense. It's an investment. Mm-hmm. Go all the way. Or do what my friend Carl Andrews does. And many people have thought about this, but Carl's the first one to tell me, turn 1s into 2s. Because A, they're novel. People don't see 2s every day. And you doubled your money if you can't afford 100s.
That's a good point. That's different than the other conversation I've gotten into ad nauseum with Carl Hine and others about this is, should you change it back?
Carl is a big proponent of changing it back. For me, it's all in the narrative. Like, he does it for grins and giggles because he can and it looks good and it looks magical. But for obvious reasons, you were just about to espouse, why would you go back to ones if you just gained a profit of $99 for each one?
Put it in your pocket.
Unless your narrative fits the script, or your motivation fits the narrative.
Like, I've heard somebody say, I've done this for my wife, but I don't want her to know I've got hundreds because she was spending them, so I put them back to one,
and
so she never knows.
And I say, I'll make a joke. If there's a lady there, I said, judging by her look, I'm going to get mugged in the parking lot.
Good point, yeah.
And it's funny to point out a girl for that. And then I say, here's what I do if I see somebody like her following me.
Change it back.
And it goes back to ones.
And then you're all set.
Yeah. So you're not excited about me now. You liked me only when I had the hundreds, huh, lady, huh? No more stalking? Is that what we're saying? I think I'm safe.
I think you made your point. That's right. All right. Listen, I'm looking forward to seeing what all is going to
unfold this
week.
And thanks for bringing up a trick
too,
from 25 years ago.
Which is still probably a bestseller for you.
Yeah, not after Extreme. That's why it's an Extreme Burn.
Oh, I gotcha. After Extreme Burn, it's kind of like that's old. That's yesterday.
That's the new standard fare.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me of the bobby pins. Bobby pins.
Jerry Andrus's?
Nope. I'm not linking pins, but bobby pins years ago.
Oh, bobby pins.
Yes, the women were wearing their hair.
Yeah.
And they were chipping their teeth when they were opening the pins to put them in their hair. So the guy made a lot of money selling bobby pins. The guy who made the money was deciding to dip them in paraffin so that way they had, just when the women were putting in their mouth with their teeth to open them up to put them in their hair,
really?
Were not chipping their teeth. And
where do you get these
nuggets?
Incredible nuggets of useless information.
That's exactly what it is, for bringing up at points like this.
Well, now I get to bring it up and think people will think I'm the cesspool of useless information. That's interesting.
That's right. Well, there you go. Thank you very much. And so are you. Thank you very much. We're looking forward to seeing you and more of this convention coming up. Thanks a lot.
Who is this for?
This is for the world. We're recording this then right now for the magicwordpodcast.com. That was Gregory Wilson.
All right.
Scotty out.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Now, what are the odds of this? We just finished this conversation with Gregory Wilson, and we run into Carl Hine right here. Hey, Carl, how are you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Fantastic. Yeah, we were just talking about the Extreme Burn versus Hundy 500 and everything, but it's good to see you here at this convention. It's been a couple of years, and we're just all glad to see friends. It's
been a couple of years for everybody, hasn't it?
For everyone. Did you do much during Zoom?
Did a little bit of Zoom, but got back to doing the magic, you know, pretty early, and being in Florida.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I do a lot of private parties, so a lot of small little circles.
During lockdown, did you come up with any fantastic new ideas? Or, I mean, what did you do to kind of keep your sanity?
A little bit of everything. Yeah, of course, I worked on some new stuff, some stuff for Zoom, stuff for not Zoom, a little bit of everything, yeah.
You putting together, or have you got a new DVD or something else coming out soon?
No, nothing. No plans right now. Maybe a book's the next thing on the list.
Okay. Thinking about going back on a lecture tour anytime?
Yeah, got one planned in France all of June.
Oh. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I went to France last November, and then June will be a little bit warm over there, but it's not like hot in Houston. Type
yeah, I'll
Texas.
Be in, I guess, France, Belgium, Switzerland, all over, so it's good to get back, and hopefully nothing gets screwed up on that. So,
so there are a lot of people over in Europe. It'll be a chance to get a little bit of Carl
Hine. Yeah, well, that's right, yeah.
So. And so anybody or anything you're looking forward to, are you going to be involved with this at all, or just here and hanging out?
Just hanging out.
Okay.
Just chilling.
You're not selling anything? You're not one of dealers?
Nope,
or anything?
Just chilling.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, it's the fun way to do it.
Have you seen any shows like while you've been here? Or
I just got in, yeah. So I just got in and kind of in and out, just kind of just doing the Magic Live thing and seeing friends.
Right. Yep, yep.
You know?
I know some people have come in early and some people staying late in order to see a few shows and everything.
Yeah, I usually try to. This time I have to get out for a show, so.
Okay, well, good for you. Good for you. Should be a lot of fun. Well,
yeah.
Thanks very much. Good
to see you. Always good to see you, Scott.
Okay, so Magic Word Podcast. That was Carl Hine. Scotty out. So one of the people I have run into is George Rieger, and he is someone that some of you may have seen or heard of from before. He is the, how do I explain this? The Disney tattoo guy. It's George Rieger. Here he is. Hey, George.
How you doing?
Fantastic. Very good to chat with you over here. Then now, how many Disney characters do you have tattooed on your body?
I stopped at 3,500.
Because you ran out of room or
I
what?
I ran out of room, basically, yeah.
So what was the first one that you got?
Fantasia, Mickey, opening day, Disney World. So he's over 50 years old. So.
You were there for opening day?
Yes.
And so that's why it was meant something to you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Going to Disney World every month since opening day, except for the past 12 years.
Do you have a speech or something that you go like to schools or talk to people about this?
I used to. I walked away from a lot of it. I had the only custom Disney house in the world. I had the largest Disney collection. I got rid of everything. So I'm sort of retired
really?
Now.
Why'd you get rid of everything?
For a girl, a woman.
Okay. She said enough, huh?
No, I was going to move with her down Miami, and I just walked away from it all.
So it's interesting that you live in Pennsylvania, not near Disney World or Disneyland.
But I do all of them. Tokyo, Hong Kong, Paris, Disneyland. So.
What is one of your favorites?
Paris.
In Paris?
Yeah.
Why?
The rides are longer, better.
Really?
Yeah.
What is your favorite ride?
Splash Mountain.
Okay.
Yeah. Over there, Pirates of the Caribbean. So.
Now, Pirates of the Caribbean has been changed here in the States. Did they change it over in Paris?
Yeah. I mean, you know, characters and stuff like that. But over there, the rides are longer, they're better, they're, you know, so.
Interesting. Now, as far as you say, like, oh, it's one of your oldest, one of your favorite, I just took a picture, and you have to go to the website to see this, but Bev Bergeron's over on your calf as well. What a good friend he was of so many people, and I'm sure you saw his show at the Horseshoe so many times.
Yeah, when I was younger, I mean, you know, saw him right away. I used to go to all the shows. But, it's, you know, they're all good excites. I had open-heart surgery, so they ruined six of them.
Ruined six of them?
Yeah. Well, ruined it, but they cut through them. Jasmine and Aladdin are now divorced, so. everything by hands, the face, and neck, being a magician, I don't, you know, some places don't care about tattoos.
Sure. Now, some places are not Disney-sanctioned, I'm sure.
Right.
Now, you said you were outlawed or something from them, or what was the deal you said?
No. I was banned for a while
Banned,
yeah.
From coming to the parks or what?
Coming to the park, yeah. I accidentally grabbed my girlfriend and they, you know, I take it very serious in Florida, so.
Huh.
Yeah, but because I was sort of famous back then, they wanted to quiet things down, so.
Wow.
Other than that.
Now, when you do magic, do you do magic with a Disney theme? Or?
No. I used to do big illusion shows. Now I don't do nothing. I'm just too old, getting old for this stuff.
So you prefer illusion shows rather than close-ups?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know Magic Live's not the only convention you attend.
Right.
Because I've met you at other conventions.
Yeah, Daytona.
Yeah.
I go to see them all the time. IBM, SAM. So,
you going to Atlanta this year?
No, I'm actually I'm going back in for more work. Though.
Okay. So another stent, or what are they doing?
Something with another valve, so who knows.
Okay. Well, you look healthy and you look good.
Run down, but other than that.
So aren't we all?
Getting old.
That's the downside, I guess.
I haven't been alive in, 10 years, 12 years, so this is my first time back. I was away.
Yeah. Let's reframe that. You haven't. You are alive, but you haven't been to Magic Live.
You're right. In that way.
So this is phenomenal. You said, 50 years ago and getting started with that and then adding a little bit. My question also is about some live people, like you said, with Bev Bergeron, and then mixed with animated as well. So how do you choose which ones you're going to get?
Originally, there was theme. Everything on my back is all Cinderella's castles and stuff like that. All the cast members, I have 365 cast members. And they're like all the people that work there. So all the shows that I go and see. And, now it's nothing, so I stopped.
Did you ever have someone's autograph and then have that tattooed in?
No, just Walt Disney's photo, So, but yeah.
So you got Walt Disney's photo or picture?
He's in the back, yeah. I used to hang with his daughters and stuff, and I used to hang with all the big Disney stars.
What did his family say when they've seen this?
Well, the neat part about that is I went to a Disneyana convention, and while I was there, his daughter, Diane, was signing autographs and stuff, and when I got up to her, I haven't met her before this. She stopped, put her glasses down, and said, "You know what? My father would have loved to see someone to go through this much trouble for his mount." But yeah. It's like sort of an honor that she would say something like that.
That's a commitment.
Yeah, they're all starting to fade now. So, and a lot of people have now, but it is good.
Not to the extent that you do, though.
No, I'm the only one basically totally. 90% covered. So.
Have you met some other people who are Disney addicts and have quite a few?
A lot of people, you know.
It's not uncommon.
No, now a lot of people get them. So. Okay. But, this is 50 years ago I started. I was getting 20, 30 a day sometimes.
A day?
A day. Before I did,
take a lot of alcohol?
No, because you bleed more. I've done, 67 talk shows already over the years. And it's weird because I had 101 Dalmatians done for Howard Stern show. Okay. And he smacked me on the back, during the show, Done a lot of talk shows over the years, too, so.
What was one of your, as we start to close here, what was one of your more memorable talk shows that you had been on, other than that one with Howard?
Howie Mandel, had a ball with him, so, okay. Yeah. Danny Bonaducci, they all had small shows, there you go. Rolanda Montel.
Television show?
Television show, okay. Over the years, so.
And was just the interaction you had with them, or they were?
Yeah, like Howard Stern, but people think he's strict and stuff. He loves Disney. He goes to Disney a lot.
Yeah.
So, people don't imagine that with him. It's fun. I enjoy it.
Well, George, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
I appreciate that. It's the Magic Word Podcast. That was George Riddell. Scotty out. We have just finished the Banachek show, and we'll soon be having a big party about 7:30 or so, but I'm here all the way from the United Kingdom is Laura London.
Hi! Scott, it's such a pleasure to see you as always.
It's a pleasure to see you, indeed, and so you're representing the Magic Circle here for...
Well, there
are a few of us.
There's quite a lot of us over from England, certainly, at this Magic Live. It's amazing.
Did you travel over with a large contingent? Or
I did,
people?
And I traveled over from Germany because I was working at another convention.
Really? What convention was that?
It was called Hocus Pocus. I was lecturing and doing my show there, which was amazing. So I've actually flown in from Munich. Not London on this occasion. It was very long, Scott. It was very long, but it was so worth it. I'm so thrilled to be here.
Did you go to New York and then to Vegas, or what?
No, well, L.A. next, and then then I'm hitting New York, then I'm going to Annapolis. So yeah, it's a big trip. I'm really excited.
Wow. So when are you actually heading back home?
Oh, in June.
Okay.
In June. I'm here for about three and a half weeks.
Now, in June, will you be back in Vegas by chance at all, or...?
No, I will be at home.
Okay, when you said June, I didn't know whether part of June you'll be here.
No, I'd love to come back to Vegas, but yeah. No. I'm heading back to London.
You love Vegas, don't you?
I mean, yes, for a few days, and certainly love it when all of these amazing magicians descend upon it. Yes, right. It makes it brilliant.
Now, you have performed and lectured at the Magic Live before, haven't you, here?
Oh, yes.
I was going to say, I've seen you at a couple of lectures or conventions.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
And so are you doing anything this time that you could talk about?
No, I'm not. This time I'm having fun. I'm an attendee. Yeah. So, yeah, it's really, really great because I've been doing a bit of a tour, lecturing and stuff. So actually to get to Magic Live, be here just to socialize and enjoy everyone else performing magic is thrilling.
I think that's what the whole thing is. So much fun when you see people like this who are just coming to have a good time, who would normally be booked as a talent, and they're just coming to, like you, to be here. So it's great.
Yeah, honestly, it's great to be here.
Anybody you're looking forward to seeing, or just glad to be here?
Do you know what? I'm excited to see it all. I am still a little bit jet-lagged, so I don't know who's doing what and when is things happening. But I'm certainly, you know, looking forward to the general sessions. They always do such a great job with those.
Right.
Always interested to see what Stan's put together.
Right.
The gala show. Yeah. All of it.
That sounds great. Well, I'm glad you made it over. And was it difficult as far as the getting out of Germany? Did you have to do a COVID test to get on the plane or anything?
Oh, 100%. So I had to navigate. Wow. I had to navigate German language to register my COVID test, which was a thing. I had lots.
You speak German?
No, not at all. I had lots and lots of help with from people. I had to take two flights to get here because there was no direct. But honestly, after 22 hours of being awake, getting in last night, I was tired. But here's what happens in Vegas, Scott. You don't care. You get up and you don't waste any time. So even though I'd been up 22 hours, I still managed to find myself out and in the Orleans, in the bar, seeing my friends. So I think I must have been up in the end probably about 25, 26 hours altogether.
So wow.
I had a good sleep last night.
Well, I guess you did. You needed it.
I literally saw the pillow and fell asleep.
Yeah. Well, I think that you have the sexiest Instagram posts of anybody. So I think everybody should be following Laura London.
Well, thank you. Just so we're clear, that's very kind of you, but they're not sexy pictures.
Well, I just mean in a very nice way.
No. I just don't want anyone coming on there expecting some beautiful pictures of a beautiful...
But if lighting, you like, the lighting, the color, they're
but that is very, very kind of you. I do pay a lot of attention to my lighting and good photographs.
That's what I mean. They're sexy from the standpoint. They're very, very well lit. They're nice.
Honestly, thank you so much. And if you do want to follow it, it's Laura London 52. Like a deck of playing cards, of course.
Exactly. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Laura London. Scotty out.
I absolutely adore you. Thank you for chatting to me.
This is the first activity that we're in right now. You can hear all of the cacophony behind me right now, and we're having a pizza party, and they've got some big cookies also. I'm kind of full on pizza, and I'm eyeing the cookies now. Where's the bar? I haven't seen the
bar is down there.
Okay, I got to go find a martini.
Right by the dealer room.
But we are here then with a few of my friends and someone else who is a new friend. First of all, Raj Madok. Hey, Raj.
Hello, Scott.
And you should go back in the archives and listen to the one with Raj. Excellent. Always is excellent. Fabian,
hey,
good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you, Scott.
Always Fabian good. Or Fabian?
Either one works. Fabian
I said Fabian once. He said Fabian, and he insisted.
My first
Fabian.
Time competing, so I had to represent it.
What the audience doesn't know is Scott is in like full Scottish regalia here. kilt and all.
It looks amazing. They said dress in color, and he came in color.
That's why they call me Scotty.
Scotty.
But I say Scotty out, you know. And then Curtis Hickman.
That's
right?
Me. Hi.
There you are. With The Void.
That's right.
Now, here's what's kind of cool, because a couple of years ago, it's probably been 4 or 5 now, I guess, and you were talking about this, and I remember this like it was yesterday, talking about AI and AR and VR, in which you were saying about how that you figured out this idea of when people are walking, they don't have to have a big platform or a big space. You could do it in a silo. They could be walking in circles.
That's right.
Just
that's
a
right.
different way of putting this together. Tell a little bit about The Void.
So, yeah, The Void is immersive VR. It's the ability to walk around in a space that you think is enormous, and we use a lot of tricks and effects and illusions to make the impossible seem real in a virtual environment.
So here's where we intersect, is you spoke at the South by Southwest in Austin a few years ago.
That's right, yeah.
I was right behind you.
Oh, no kidding.
There was another lady who had contacted me who called the Magic Castle in Hollywood and said, hey, I'm going to be doing the South by Southwest on AR and VR. and I need somebody who's a magician to help me. He might be in Texas. And they said, Scotty's the guy. You need to talk to Scott. So we had worked that out, and it was like hers was how to think like a magician and to think rather than around or over, but through. How do magicians think?
It was Laura, I think.
That was it, Laura Mingle.
Yeah.
And so Laura was the one giving the talk, and I was the one who was the magician doing the tricks that she was representing, saying, okay, for example.
I remember this, yes.
Okay, I did like Lysander's flying table. But I remember sitting in on yours. Oh, did you see ours then?
A little bit of it, yes, I did.
Okay, yeah. I loved yours, and I thought, I hate to say that if Laura's listening to this, but I felt like ours paled in comparison. Yours was really interesting. But I just heard, you know, that you went into a little bit more detail in South by Southwest than you did here at Magic Live because you only had 20 minutes.
That's right, yeah. I could really talk about how we use redirection and how we use traditional magic techniques in just very sideways, outside-the-box ways to make people think that they're, you know, walking along cliff edges and doing impossible things and really having them believe it, even though they're perfectly safe.
Yeah, like you're reaching up and grabbing a torch off the wall or something and whatever.
Exactly, and those are convincers. Just like a magician would use convincers to prove that something is floating, we use convincers to help people believe that the virtual world that they're seeing around them is real. And the second you get them there, I call it the path of conviction, the second you get them down that path of conviction, you can start doing crazy things because they've already accepted the fact that the world's real. So now you can take it to the next level and make things impossible.
Yeah, when you're looking at something and you see something that you could step down, you actually can feel that you're stepping down.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You see a chair, you can sit in the chair. You see a wall, you can lean on the wall. You see fire, it feels hot. And so all your normal expectations, your A-leafs are all confirmed in that reality.
Yeah.
And so the second those confirmations take hold and anchor into your mind, then other things like, oh, I'm on the side of a building or I'm flying through the air on a skiff, those are confirmed by your subconscious as well and carry over into your conscious, making you think that I'm doing something insane and people scream and it's a lot of fun.
Well, as we talked about to begin with, originally the concept was you were going to have a big footprint. It was going to take a large warehouse
kind of thing.
And then you would decide the silo kind of an idea. The point being you were able to replicate that and not have as much real estate in other places. Have you, I know since COVID we had all kinds of issues and problems, but have you and did you actually expand and do you have these available in different places around the states currently?
Yeah, COVID was a problem. COVID really, people didn't want to show up and put VR headsets on during a pandemic, as it turns out. So we're rebuilding the void, and so we've got a lot of exciting announcements coming out, new products, new exciting things to share with everybody, and that's coming up. But for right now, the void is closed, so we'll just have to hold tight for a little bit longer.
And so the void, the one that you have, was that up in the Northwest, or where was that located?
So we had about 15 different void locations all around the world, including Disneyland, Disney World, here in Vegas, Canada, all over the place. And it was great because it was a small place that you could go and experience these big worlds. And so the foundation's still there. That's what we want to do, is take people into what we call hyper-reality, these impossible places that feel real. And so the mission's still the same, but we just have to kind of rebuild after COVID and do it again.
Wow. It excites me. Whenever I went to that conference for AR and VR there at South by Southwest and was walking through the trade show and seeing all these things and doing some hands-on things, my mind was blown. And I remember the Chinese were talking about launching a satellite for an 8K, and it was exponential to 4K. I mean, it's almost three-dimensional, and I'm sure there's probably something being developed since then that's even better.
Yeah, I mean, it's we have new technology, and we want to do bigger, longer experiences, as well as some other, let's say, surprises for now.
So where can people go to keep up with what the Void's doing and where they can go to find these kinds of things once you reopen?
I believe you can go just to the Void website, thevoid.com, and sign up for put your email in there, and we'll let you know what's happening.
I am excited about that. You know, when I heard you, here, it was one of those memorable things, and then whenever I did the South by Southwest with you, in a way, I thought, man, this is cool. Well, thank you, Curtis. It's so good to connect.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that's Curtis Hickman and Raj and Fabian. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Scott.
They're busy in their own conversation. Okay, Scotty out. So now we are in the dealer's room. We just had the party out front, the pizza party and everything. And this, of course, is Magic Live. But there's another convention that's going to be coming up next year. We just came from the Magic
Expo.
Yes, Magic Collectors Expo.
Bill Smith. Kind of get some of these things running together.
Bill Smith's a Magic Collectors
Correct.
Expo.
Correct. And next year we're going to be going to Cleveland to see Bruce Evercock's place. And here's a guy, Bruce, with. Hey, Bruce.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Scott?
Fantastic. So tell me a little bit about what we're going to be seeing and when it's going to be and all that.
Well, I have about a 8,000 square foot museum I've been putting together. Collectibles I've gathered.
Are you living in it, or is it a separate building?
It's part of the house.
That's what I thought.
The other 8,000 is the house.
Yeah.
So we're focused on the museum for the meeting, and we're going to see.
Wait. You bought a 16,000 square foot piece of property?
We built it during COVID.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay.
I retired and I built a place. Isn't that crazy?
Good for you.
But for years and years, I've collected Magic. I've collected Houdini, Okito, and others. And I really didn't have a really solid way to display it.
Yeah.
So this was a dream I had, and I wanted to give back to Magic and also get this out. I have, you know, archives of things and Houdini and stuff. So this is the chance to get it out there, start educating people, seeing some of the things that I've put together.
Yeah.
I have a pretty diverse collection, but a focus with Okito and Houdini and others, and props, paper, ephemera. You know.
Is there any particular type of thing? I mean, I remember like Kent Klosterman had a lot of little ball and base kind of a thing, and then he had a lot of clocks, Houdon clocks. So
let me put it this way. My good friend Ken Trombley, who probably got me started in all this back in like 1990, 91, says, Bruce, you've got to focus. You have to focus. And I said, Ken, I am focused. He says, well, I don't know, Bruce. I don't see it. I said, yeah, I'm focused on everything.
Now you sound like Jay Marshall.
Yeah. So, you know, that I have a lot of different things in a variety, from Germain, you know, the Clevelander, Blackstone, some Carter, some more modern people too. You know, we've got a lot of, we have Thayer.
What's the gentleman's name in Columbus who's a collector also?
Oh, Tim Moore.
Tim's got
a beautiful collection.
Yes.
Yeah, he got a nice focus on Houdini.
He's going to be nearby, so surely he's hopefully going to come next year.
Tim's been up to the place already. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tim's a great guy. He'll be there.
Yeah. Sure. That's not far from Cleveland. What are you, about 2 hours?
2.5 hours to Columbus.
Okay, Cleveland, Columbus.
And then Jim Rollins is just down in Streetsboro, so that's about 4 hours away.
You said there's someone else in Cleveland we're going to get to see next year, too?
Oh, Tim Ligonki.
Okay.
Tim has been a collector of so many things. Penny arcade machines, but a big focus on electrical automatons, more the modern automatons, like the 1930s, 40s, but beautiful, wonderful items, beautiful collection. You'll be amazed. He has some of the old style windups too, but his focus has been on the electronics, and he's got an area in his house full of it. He's set up his garage with special things. I don't want to ruin the surprise, but just gorgeous. So my place is about 2 minutes from the hotel. This is about 18 minutes.
Okay.
So we're very convenient. The hotel is
taking bus, I guess, or over there, or
Well,
you know, we got some big shoes to fill after the last couple of years. We're going to Copperfield's collection.
I can't rival David's.
Then Esther's Follies. Then this year.
David's got the wonderful collection, an amazing large collection. And it's beautiful. So I can't rival that, but I've got some interesting things. I think it'll be fun.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Now, what were the dates? 18th?
May 9th, 10th, and 11th, I believe.
May,
so it's 19th, and it's midweek, so I think it starts, I think that's a Tuesday. So I think, which actually is better for people who perform, because they can come on the...
Like Ray Anderson, for an example. He can't come on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, because that's why I happen to be here today, Sunday, because, he's off. And so it's good. And also, I think a lot of people who are collectors are retired people anyhow.
Well, we're hoping that's not always the case. We want to get some of the youthful people earlier in their collecting career, so to say, started up. And we're seeing that. I think David Sandy and Lance Rich have done a wonderful job with Collector's Corner setting that up. We've brought in some wonderful people. Ben...
young man, I know what you mean. He's 15 or something?
And there are many others, and I think we're seeing that. If it's any indication from Potter & Potter and David Haverstadt's auction, I think some of the collectors are younger and interested in a variety of things, so I'm hoping we see that grow.
Speaking of David and Lance, and then I'll let you go, I thought it was great, because we did get to see some of your collection, due to
the ability of Zoom, we were able to see a lot of people's homes and collections and artifacts they brought out, and that was wonderful. You donated quite a few things, I think, also.
I didn't donate anything for prizes.
You didn't for prizes? Okay.
No, that was Bill Smith and Jim Rollins.
Jim did
a lot
of
that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I showed a few things online.
Yeah.
I didn't give a tour of my place. I kind of wanted to be a little surprised.
Okay, then.
You know,
there were so many places I thought we did get to see you, but I guess not. Okay, well, I'm excited now. Even more excited.
Yeah, you have to have some element of surprise.
Surprise.
Like, yeah, it's part of the
surprise.
Fun.
Okay, very good.
See what I've done in the craziness.
Thank you, Bruce, very much. Looking forward to it.
All right, Scott, great talking to you.
This is a great convention, isn't it?
I mean, Magic Lives,
we get
amazing.
To see just everybody and everything, it seems like. And it's just, as people are listening to this, you can hear the varied conversations and backgrounds and interests that people have that I've been talking to, like Bruce. So thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
You're
That's
welcome.
Bruce Abercock, Scotty out.
All right.
Perfect. Thank you.